anybody's ready to change your sound? Anybody ready to change your sound today? Come on. How many know that we got to change our sound? There should be a fresh sound from heaven coming from us and to us. And today, sound affects everything in our environment, doesn't it? I mean, we're moved, our emotions, our desires, things are affected by sound. We see in Scripture where sound always followed the presence and the move of God. And today, what are the sounds are we making? What are the sounds we're putting in our mind? What are the sounds coming from our heart, out of our mouth? We're praying that God would change our sound during this season at Destiny Church, that a fresh sound would come. Today, I want to get right into it. Let's go ahead and jump right into it, and it's going to be good today. How many know everybody waits on heaven to move? Isn't that true? I made a statement last week. I want to go back to it. Everybody is waiting on heaven to move. And I believe that that is theologically incorrect as a Christian. We're not waiting on heaven to move because heaven's already moved. God's already created the heavens and earth. He's already sent his son to die. He's already sent his Holy Spirit to empower. And so the next move is ours. All the power we ever need in our life is already there. All the grace you need in your life is already there. Everything that God wants to do in your life, the power, the grace, his spirit is already there. The question is, are we going to tap into it? Are we going to open ourselves up to receive it? I'm waiting on God to move. No, God, listen, we're not waiting on God to move. God's waiting on us to move. Throw me that basketball, Hayden. There you go. Thanks, Sam. How many like playing basketball? Isn't basketball a fun game? Any basketball players in the house today? Anybody play basketball? Anybody been out of basketball for a year? That's the oldest they were playing? Okay, all right, TJ, all right, here you go. Here you go, TJ. Anybody still in shape? I heard that comment coming out, okay. Basketball is a game where you pass the ball, obviously. TJ, you played point guard at Missouri Southern, and one of the things that all great basketball players have is the knack to see the whole floor, right? I mean, a basketball player has got to be able not only to play the one-on-one game with the guy he's guarding or the guy who's guarding him, but they also got to be able to see the whole floor at the same time. It's a very unique skill that's developed for those people who are able to play one-on-one but yet see the whole game going on around them. It's something only a skilled player really works in and does that, because the minute you take your eye off what's going on around you is the minute you'll miss the ball or you'll miss the pass. And you won't make the pass that needs to be made. Great players can dribble the ball, see the whole court. They can be looking over here, and all of a sudden they see someone break free and open over here to the left, and they'll make a no-look pass. Bam! Hit that person right in stride for a layup. Look what they call the backdoor play. They'll see a person cutting backdoor, and they'll get the ball to them and say, how do they see that? Great players see that. But one of the things that happens is this. We pass the ball. How did he receive that ball? Why did he catch that ball? Because he was what? He was ready for it, right? He caught the ball because he was ready for it. Now, what happened if I was playing with TJ and I passed TJ the ball and he wasn't ready for it? You don't catch it, right? Now, TJ, tell me what happens to when you don't catch the ball. What happens? It's called a turnover, and you lose possession. Now, TJ, what happens? What does the coach do when a person makes turnovers? They go sit next to him on the bench, right? And if a person misses the ball enough, what's going to happen? You're going to stop passing them the ball, right? Why pass them the ball? They're never ready for it. They're never looking. They're never in position to receive it. So therefore, I'm not going to pass them the ball, right? You still got it? Okay. Just making sure. You got to be in position to catch the ball. Same principle goes along with football. Those are football fans out here. I know some football guys are ready to kick off the season. Anybody ready for the season coming up? Yeah, it's going to be great. I really don't care about that stuff, but I heard some people all do. And so anyway, you know, one of the great things about great receivers is they have a way of getting open. They have a way of running their routes, of blocking the defender off, and they can always seem to be open. Therefore, they develop a trust with the quarterback. At that many times, that quarterback will throw the ball before that receiver is ever open, because they have developed this trust issue. They've got this thing. They know that guy always gets himself open. So I'm going to throw that ball before he ever makes us cut to get open. And what happens is that person will be going this way to make the cut, they turn around, the ball's right there, hit them in the hands. They won't even see it coming. They'll just turn and know it's going to be there. They turn and anticipate, the ball's right there, and they bring it right in. Why? Because they've learned over time that that quarterback has got to trust that they're going to run good routes and they're going to be in position to catch the ball. Now, if that quarterback passes the ball and the receiver turns around, the ball doesn't even see it coming, what happens? He's like, I threw the ball. Pay attention. Get yourself in position to receive it. You knew it was a pass play. You knew the route was being run. He's going to quit throwing the ball. So I say this, is in our life, how many times do we live our life in position to catch the ball? How many times do we live our life in position to receive what God really got for us? See, I put it to you this way. We're not waiting on heaven. Heaven's waiting on us. And we got to put ourselves in position to receive what God's wanting to do. I want the heavens to open up, and I want God to do something in my life. Well, place yourself in position to receive what God's wanting to do in your life. I want God to give me a new thing. Well, get yourself in position. I want God to tell me His will for my life. Anybody there? I want God, I just wish God revealed to me. I know God's got something great in my life, and I want God to show me His will. Anybody ever prayed that prayer? Raise your hand. I want God just to show me God's will. Make it simple for me. God, show me Your will. Well, let me just break it to you this way. Why would God show me a 10-point plan for my life when I can't even get to plan one? I can't even get to step one. I want to position myself to do step one, and I want God to show me the big plan. Is He going to trust me with the big plan when I can't even get the ABCs down? God, I want You to show me the mathematical formula for my life. I want You to show me the true vision, but yet I can't even get 1 + 1 down. See, He's going to trust me when I put myself in position to receive. It's kind of, some of you getting what I'm saying? Let's make it real plain, okay? I'll make sure you're getting real plain what I'm saying. It's like this. How can I trust God? You're going to call me to do this. You call me, is it going to be, God, is it California? Is it Florida? Is it, you call me to Texas? God, where are You calling me to? God, I know You got something great for me. No, He's calling you to walk across the street and to be nice to your neighbor. He's calling me to go sit by somebody else at lunch that nobody else wants to sit by. He's calling me to be nice to that person who's a thorn in my flesh every day at work. I don't want to do that. Then what makes you think God is going to entrust you? I got to put myself in position every day by doing the little things that He's called me to do. And as I do that, I open myself up for the big pass. I open myself up more. Why would God talk to me? Why would a new sound come to me if I'm not obeying the little sounds that are coming now? Hey, you know that guy over there? I want you to be nice to him today at work. Nobody likes him, God. He's a jerk. That's not God. And we ignore that. And God's like, tomorrow, you know that guy at work nobody's nice to? I want you to be the one who's nice to him today. God, no! Do you know what he did? What he said about so-and-so? He's a jerk. And pretty soon we're like, I wonder why God never talks to me. I just seem like I haven't heard God's voice in a long time. I haven't heard a new sound from God in a long time. Well, that happens because we start ignoring the things He's saying to us now. What makes you think He's going to open up something new to your life? You want a new sound? You got to position yourself through obedience now. God, what's the little thing now? You telling me to buy someone's groceries in line with me at Walmart? Okay. I do that, and tomorrow God's like, you did good. You did good. Let me give you something even a little bit bigger. Let me just tell you a little bit more insight. Why? Because we're gaining the ear of the Lord by being obedient to the sounds we're hearing now. So the plan is simply this. I've got to position myself to be a hearer of new sound. I've got to position myself to be something new of God. I can't take something old and place it in something new. We see some scripture. Heaven is waiting on us. Let me back it up with scripture. Let's give you a couple real fast. Matthew 18:19. Again, I truly say to you, if two of you ask on earth and agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. When there are two or three gathered in my name, what? God's there. God, when are you going to show up? He said, when two or three gather in my name, I am there. When you agree on earth, it can happen. See, He's wanting to do things, but He's waiting for us to agree. He's waiting for us to assemble together. And his name, 2 Chronicles 7:14, very, very plain. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Is God wanting to heal? Is God wanting to do great things? Yes, he is. But he's waiting on us to do what? I've got to put into action. God, I got to position myself by humbling myself. I got to position myself by praying. I got to position myself by seeking his face. I've got to position myself to receive of everything that God wants in my life. Mark 2:22, we read it last week. Let's go to it again today. No one pours new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour what? New wine into new wineskins. Say again. New wine into what kind of wineskins? Come on, say new. There you go. Now turn your name and say new. It's got to be new. Something fresh. He was using the illustration, as Jesus often did, a way so we can understand that was relevant to the culture. And he was saying, when you make the new wine and it goes into an old wine bottle, it expands and it breaks the bottle. You've got to put that new wine in the new wineskin so when it expands, it all takes shape together and it can take a hold and receive the new wine. Therefore, you can't take the old container and put the new in there because when it expands, the container will shatter, it will break, and everything's ruined. It won't receive it. It can't receive it. And so this is the principle in our life that we can't take something new of God and put it into our old action, our old routine. Something's got to change. We got to see something. We can't take new wine. Listen, we can't take this new wine. Take a new experience we have in God and place it in your old routine. It's not going to happen. I can't say, all right, God, you're here today. You're speaking to my heart. You're telling me to change my attitude. And then I go home tomorrow and never change my routine. I never change the sound that I'm hearing, never change the sounds that are coming out of my mouth, and think that my attitude is going to change. If I do the same thing every day, I'm going to have the same results. Something's got to change. I got to reposition. God, no, I'm going to let positive words, led by the Holy Spirit, come out of my mouth so that my attitude will change. God, you've been dealing with me today. Some of you here, God will tell you, man, your attitude stinks at work. I want you to change your outlook. I want you to change the way you represent me, where you're at. In order for that to happen, you're going to have to change some things. And so I got to position myself. God, I'm not going to just pile on the bandwagon and talk bad about my boss. I'm going to come in and begin to speak positive things. I'm going to do something different. You got to change something to receive what God's wanting to do new in your life. You can't put a new sound in an old attitude. Let me say again. You can't put a new sound in an old attitude. New sound will take place in a new attitude. No, I'm changing the way I'm thinking. I'm changing the way I'm obeying. I'm changing the way I'm operating the Holy Spirit. I can't take a new season in your marriage without doing something new. You can't have a new season in your marriage without doing something new and changing who you are. God, I want you to make my marriage stronger. I want you to change our marriage. Me and my wife had no communication, and we're in this really time of this being really separate. I said, God, I want you to strengthen my marriage and make me and my wife closer together. But I never take time to move something out of my schedule and open up a time for a date night. I don't ever take time to communicate. I don't take time to be alone. I don't take time to listen. You got to make room for something. Something's got to change if you want something to change. That's good right there. Something's got to change if you want something to change. And so I've got to position myself by making room, pushing aside things that have kept me down, things that are pushing me back. I say, God, I want something new. Let's get a little more personal. Don't ask God to heal your body if you won't take care of the one you got now. Oh, man, that's tough, isn't it? Don't ask God to heal my body if I'm not taking care of the one I have now. No, something's got to change. Don't ask God to change your finances when you're not stewarding the ones you got now. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better wear your steel-toed shoes today because this is going to be good. I can't ask God to change my finances if I won't steward what he's given me now. No, something's got to change. I got to start stewarding according to the word of God, the way God wants me to steward what I have now, and then say, God, I am positioning myself for you to bless my finances. But I don't say, God, well, after you bless my finances, then I'll be a good steward. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a liar from the pits of hell right there. We all know that's a lie. It ain't going to change. It's just going to compound something that's already bad in your life. If you're a bad steward, more money is going to make you even a worse steward. I mean, either you learn to manage what you have now. We manage our body now and pray to God that God change my health. Now, see, we got to position ourselves, change who I am. Reposition yourself. Look what 1 Corinthians says here. We touched on this last week. It says God chose the foolish things, 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. See, God chooses to use people who the world thinks can't be used. See, God wants to use people who are weak. God wants to use people who have been passed over. God wants to use people who the world has wrote off. God wants to use people that the world has forgotten. God wants to use people who have been hurt. God wants to use people who have been abused. God wants to use people who got baggage in their life. God wants to use you. But Pastor, I'm just not qualified to be used. Great. Then you're perfect because that's who God really wants to use. But I got to position myself. I got to position myself and get myself ready. God wants to use you. People should look at your life and say this. People should look at you, at your life, and the way you have changed and say, that has to be God. Really, that's where it should be. People should look at your life and say, that has to be God. I knew them in high school, and there ain't no way. You ended up doing what? You changed to do what? People should look at your marriage and go, that has to be God. Because I know that person's the bear to live with. That has to be God. You see how God is blessing their life? That has to be God. Their life has changed. I knew them when they would not live in this way. I knew them when they were not walking blessed. I knew them when they were just living in their own strength. Man, they were living so above the place they should be. Why? Because God longs for that to happen in our life. He wants you to position yourself as a person that he can bless, a person that he can pour into, that a new sound can come to you and a new sound can come out of you. He longs to do that. Why? Because he wants the glory. This is why I really feel compelled to talk about and begin to touch on praise and worship. We're going to do that over the next few weeks. When we first started Destiny Church, it was kind of a melting pot of different people coming in. We had people coming in who had never been to church before ever. Just getting saved. We had people coming in who have been out of church a long time. We had people coming in the church who have been burnt by the church sometime in their life. We had people coming in who were raised Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Holiness. I mean, we had every extreme that you can think of, from one extreme to the next. Destiny Church has been a melting pot of so many different people, multi-generationals, multi-ethnic. It's a great thing to see what God's bringing together. But because of that, people coming in who had no experience what it means to worship the Lord and praise the Lord. I mean, some of you here are like, man, this is cool, but man, stand up there in worship, and you find yourself standing up there in worship. All right, this is cool. I can stand. All right, we're reverencing God. This is cool. All right, cool. And the lights go off, and pretty soon you find yourself, your hands going up, and you kind of just give a little courtesy praise. You know what I'm talking about? Any courtesy praise people in the house? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. You find yourself, all right, this isn't too bad. You've got a little courtesy praise. You're like, this feels good. Yeah, I'm receiving. Yeah, I'm putting myself in position. And all of a sudden, phew, before you know it, you're doing the touchdown. Score! You find yourself, you're walking in. What's going on? My face is leaking. Every time I come into this church, Pastor, I had all the time people come in. You did it again. I had to go out and buy waterproof mascara, Pastor. Yeah, I'm always just crying when I come to church. I don't know what it is, but I'm just crying. I'm crying. I'm crying. And this inside, I'm laughing because it's just the Holy Spirit. You're just feeling the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He's moving you. What's happening here is a praise level. And it's been exciting to see the sound begin to increase, to see the praise increase, to see people begin to extend a hand in worship, to see people begin to shout unto God with passion, worshiping God with passion. I love that. And God is very much pleased with that. But I believe that God is preparing us even for a higher level. I believe he's wanting a sound to ring out of this place that would carry throughout the four-state area, that people would know there's a sound of freedom, a sound of healing, a sound of redemption, a sound of restoration, a sound of people being healed physically, spiritually, marriages restored, children coming home, people's lives being changed. I've been talking about a sound. People say, that has to be God. No, Pastor Gene, he ain't that good. That's God. The praise team, they're good, but they ain't that good. That's God. The people there, they're good, but they're not that good. That's God. That's the sound that God is rising up within us. And it's going to be a sound. I'm telling you, I'm prophesying to you right now. There's going to be a sound. It's going to carry. It's going to carry. But we got to position ourselves and say, why? Why is this happening? If you don't know why, then you miss out on what's going on. So I'm going to take some time to explain this sound that's coming out, why it's important to praise, why it's important to worship. I'm going to make a statement right here that I believe is controversial, but it doesn't bother me. I've been known for that a few times. And so I'm going to give it to you anyway here. I wrote this out, and I want you to see this. The problem with the American church is this. We have built the church to look good to people and not to God. All right. Thank you for that one amen right there, Justin. The problem with church, Justin, you know what the problem with the church is? We've built our churches to be far too pleasing to people and not to God. Now, hear me out. I am very much okay with modern, okay? You know that. Matter of fact, there's a lot more things I want to do. As long as I'm the pastor here, we will always be looking to make sure we're staying relevant, we're staying modern. Our facilities, our presentation of the gospel, our music, everything we do, I'm going to make sure we don't get stuck in a time warp, okay? We're going to make sure we're always progressing and we're always looking for new things and new ideas. But one thing doesn't change is this, that the house of God should be the house of God. The house where he comes to, his presence is here. And we can build it for the community to come, and that's fine and dandy. I'm for that. We want to do that. We want to be sensitive that new Christians would come in and people who don't know God would feel comfortable coming into our building. So they walk in and go, oh, this ain't so bad. This decor here is modern. Their presentation is modern. Their lighting and their video and their music. This is all modern stuff. I can relate to this. We want to do that. Okay. That's very much who we are. But at the same time, we got to say, are we building our church for man or building our church for God? The most important thing should always be and should remain, are we building a sanctuary where God wants to come and abide? Where his presence is here? Because I don't care if we have 10,000 people coming, if God's not in the house, I don't want to be there. Do you hear what I said? I don't care how many people we have coming, if God's not in the house, I don't want to be there. I'm not interested in building a social club. I want a changed revolution where people come in and have seen the power of God changing people's lives. So is it possible to have both? Yes. Yes, it is. But we got to guard that and say we are preparing ourselves that a sound would come that would welcome the house of the Lord, that would welcome the Holy Spirit, that would welcome God. See, everywhere God is, you'll find praise and worship. Everywhere God is, you'll find praise and worship. And good music isn't always the key. I know a lot of great musicians, a lot of great worship teams, but sometimes it's just dry. You ever been there? Okay. I'm just talking honest because I've visited churches all across America and even across the world. Okay. I've been in churches where the talent wasn't that great, but man, the presence of God was strong. Why? Because they've connected with being able to build a place where God would abide. When you look at scripture, look at the presence of God, follow the Ark of the Covenant, follow when God moved in the upper room, follow when God was near. Sound always followed. Praise and worship all followed. You know what's going around God right now? Praise and worship. It says the angels, man, they are rejoicing 24/7. It's happening. Praise is going on in heaven right now. Worship and praise always follows the presence of God. So praise and worship will always be a strong point of Destiny Church. It will always be at the forefront. God, we want to welcome in your presence. God, we want to welcome you with praise and worship. See, sometimes you got to praise your way to your next breakthrough. Anybody in the house today? Sometimes you got to praise your way to your next breakthrough. Sometimes you're at a place you're stuck. God, I ain't heard from you. God, I'm not moving. God, I just feel so dry in my spirit. That's when you got to say, God, I'm getting alone with you today. I don't care who else is worshiping this house. I am going after God. God, I've got to have my tank refilled. God, I've got to feel your presence. God, I'm going to bless you today. God, I don't care if I don't feel like it. I don't care if I argue with my husband and kids all the way here. I don't care if I couldn't find a matching sock for anybody in the house this morning on the way to church. I don't care if the power went off on getting my hair done. And I don't care if we were almost ran out of gas coming here and the light came on, the check engine light came on. And man, everything will ruin your day. God, I don't care. I'm going to give you the best praise. I'm coming in saying, God, I'm going to touch God. It's in that I want to touch you even more. I refuse to allow anything to be a barrier in me going after the presence of God in my life. Take yourself to a new level. I love the story of Jacob. We talked about it some time ago. The story of Jacob. And remember, Jacob was a son of Isaac and Rebekah. And he had a twin brother named Esau. And his twin brother was born first. And so by birthright, he should have had the blessing of the father. And when one day when he had a chance, he deceived his father. His father was losing his sight. And remember, he took his arms and put wool on them to make himself seem more hairy so that when his father touched him, he thought he was the older brother. And he said, Dad, bless me and give me your blessing. He tricked his dad into giving him the blessing that belonged to his brother. And because of that, he had to flee from there and he had to run for his life because everybody found out he was a deceiver and he had lied. And so he flees the land and he's on the run. And he goes to his uncle's place and he goes there to Laban, his uncle. And he's like, man, I'm running for my life. I heard you were here, Unc. And come over here. And he found out all of a sudden, he was really in great despair, and all of a sudden, slow motion happened. Boom, 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 boom! I've been feeling so fine. And he looks out, and he sees Rachel. And the Bible says Rachel was very beautiful. I mean, the Bible doesn't describe very many women this way, but it says, when you really translate it out, it says Rachel was very easy on the eyes, okay? And he's like, I've got to marry this woman. Can I marry your daughter? He said, sure, but you got to work for 7 years. 7 years? No problem. I will work 7 years gladly to marry this woman. And so he works 7 years, and he's so excited at the end of 7 years, he gets into the wedding. He's like, hurry up, preacher, get this wedding going. Come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Come on, make it short, pastor, make it short, pastor. Let's get through this wedding. And they go, and they have the honeymoon. The next day, he's like, maybe I should take the veil off and see her beautiful eyes. I mean, he's talking about being excited. So he finds out all of a sudden he didn't marry Rachel. He married Leah. Everybody say Leah. Wow, wow, wow. Hate to be a Debbie Downer, but you know what I'm talking about. Okay, okay. Leah. The Bible says Leah was pretty on the inside. She had a good personality, a beautiful woman on the inside. That's just how the Bible explains who she was. But the dad tricked Jacob into marrying Leah. He's like, well, you know, it's only custom that the sister be married first before I can give you Rachel's hand. You can still marry Rachel, but you got to work for me another 7 years. And so he had to work another 7 years to get the woman he really wanted to marry. At the meantime, he had to support and now be married to the woman he already married. And the whole victim here is really not Jacob. I believe the victim here is Leah. Her dad forced her to marry a man who doesn't love her. And so she's trying, the whole marriage we see where she's trying to win the affection of her husband, and it never happens. She thinks, well, if I give him some sons, that's a thing of honor. He'll then see me as a wife, and he'll then draw close to me. So she has one son, and she names her sons according to how she's feeling. Ladies, you cannot hide your emotions, okay? You stink at hiding your... Guys, we're good at hiding our emotions. We suppress them way too much. But ladies, you're just transparent. You get your emotions out there. It's a very good thing. This is the way Leah was so much, she even named her sons the way she was feeling. Well, she named the first son Reuben, which simply means see me. See me. I've given you a son. Now see me. I'm over here. Jacob, notice me. I'm your wife. That doesn't happen. So she decides to give him another son. They have another son. His name is Simeon. And she named him Hear Me. So can you see Leah? She's like, notice me right here. I'm over here. Can you at least hear me? Can you hear me out? Can you hear what I have to say? Can you hear my heart? Can you hear me? Can you long for my conversation with me? I mean, this is a heartbreaking story. This woman has been forced into a marriage with a man who doesn't love her. So she says, see me, notice me, hear me. No one hears me. She gave a son The third son, she names him Levi. Well, simply means, join me. Please, can we? It's your third son. Can we please be a real husband and wife? Can we communicate? Can we join together in heart and spirit? She was longing for that intimacy that she never got with Jacob. So she gave him a fourth son. And she names him Judah. And his name means praise. This is important because I want you to get it. Anyone here ever felt like you've been unnoticed? Anyone here feel like no one hears you, no one sees you? The thing you thought was going to be real never came to pass. The thing you wanted never happened. The thing you wanted so bad in your life never came about. You're like, I just want to be noticed. I just want people to hear me, see me. I'm hurting over here. Hello? Everybody's feeling sorry for Jacob, but I'm the one that's really the victim here. I'm the one that's really hurting here. No one sees me. Everybody feels sorry for Jacob because he was tricked, but what about me? Somebody hear me. Somebody see me. Somebody notice me. And so her cry goes from see me, hear me, join me, to her cry turns to what? Praise. And what I want you to know today is this, that out of your turmoil, out of your disappointment, out of the thing that hurts the most, God wants to take it and give you a voice of praise. Out of your despair, God wants a praise to come out. Out of your rejection, God wants a praise to come out. Out of your hurt, God wants a new sound of praise. What a sad story. No, not a sad story. Judah came out of this. Judah was the lineage that David came from, and David was the lineage that Jesus came from. We're talking about the lineage of our Savior came out of a desperate cry of praise that the Savior was coming out of this thing, man. Are you getting what I'm saying today? Out of your cry, the Savior will come. Out of your pain, the Savior will come. Out of your praise, the Savior shows up. So why do we praise? Why do we praise? Because God shows up where there's praise. God shows up where people will cry out to him and say, God, I'm hurting. Keep it real. God, no one sees me. No one notices me. No one knows what I'm really going through. But God, you do. And ever so more will I praise you. In the good days, I will praise you. In the bad days, I will praise you. In the good times, I will praise you. In the tough times, I will praise you. And out of my pain, I will not give up. I'm more than a survivor. But out of my pain will come a new song of praise. That says, even though I was down, praise shall fill my mouth. Even though I was rejected, praise shall fill my heart. It's a powerful place to be when you can sing out of your pain. It's one thing to sing out of your joy. That's a great thing. It's easy to praise then, but have you ever sung out of your pain? Have you ever had to have a song, force a song out when you didn't see the sun shining? Oh, that's real praise right there. That's something you've never been through before that you can't explain. And I just tell you, you can't explain it. But when you let a song come out of your rejection, when you let a song come out of your pain, disappointment, out of your darkest hour, you let praise begin to rule your life, I'm telling you, it takes you to a place in the presence of God that you could never experience. It bursts it out of you, a sound of praise. When life doesn't give you what you want or expect, let a new sound come out of you, a sound of praise. Psalms 114. Look what it says here. Verses 1 through 2. I love this scripture. When Israel went out to Egypt, the house of Jacob from the people of a strange language. Look what it says. Judah became what? His sanctuary. Whose sanctuary? God's. Judah became God's sanctuary. And Israel, his dominion. Now, I want you to pay attention. I want you to wake up. Turn around and say, wake up. Listen, Pastor's about to tell you something that's really, really good and powerful today. This is worth your price of admission right now, okay? I'm going to give you something right here. It's going to just rock your world. Look at this. What's he saying? How does this translate? He's saying this, that all of Israel is God's. But Judah was his sanctuary. Let me put it to you into everyday language. Every Bible-believing church is under God's dominion. They belong to the Lord. But only where the praise is at will God abide. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited today. Because that's a revelation that should rock your world. Because the problem is this, we had too many places are building and putting steeples up. But man, you walk in, it is dead. Good people doing good works. They love the Lord and God loves them. But man, there's no power there. There's nothing that's changing. Because why? Because God's sanctuary is in the praise, can be found in the praise. Heard the story about the man who came to church the other day. You heard the story about the man who came to church and he came in and he was wearing some old clothes and looked like he'd been working in them for a long time. And everybody was kind of like, this guy is wearing his old clothes. Obviously, he's got something better he can wear the church than this. And to make things worse, he comes in and he walks right in the middle of the pastor while he's preaching. I threw it in there because that happens a lot here and it gets on my nerves. Okay, all right, let's just talk about something else. He walks down right on the front row and says this. He walked right in front and sat in the front row? What if our guests see that? Pastor, you got to talk to this guy and let him know. Ask him, can he at least sit in the back? So the pastor gets up enough nerves. Hey, man, we love having you at church. You're always welcome here anytime. But if you're going to dress like that, would you mind at least maybe sitting in the back? Or could you do this? Because just do me a favor. Pastor thought, because the guy said, what's it matter what I wear? God loves me. And he's like, you're right. But let me ask, pastor said this, let me ask you this question. Will you please just go home this week and pray and ask God, God, do you want me to come and dwell in your presence dressed like this? Or do you want me to give you my very best and dress my very best? You pray about this week. And that's all I'm asking you, just pray about this week. So the man leaves. And next week he comes in, he's wearing the same clothes, and he sits down in the front row. And the pastor's like, man, did this guy not get anything I said to him? And so he asked the man, he said, man, did you not go home and pray and ask God? He says, pastor, I did. I asked God what he thought, and God told me this. God said, it don't matter because I've never been there before anyway. It's a funny story, but sad. It's kind of true, right? Because it's this, how many times do we walk in and God's presence is not there? How many times do we walk in and why is God's presence here? Because he wants to change. He wants to abide in the praises of his people. Look what this says here in our last scripture. Psalms 22:3. But thou, O Lord, art thou, what? Thou inhabit. You abide in what? The laziness of Israel, right? Right? God abides in the laziness of his people, right? No. God inhabits the what? Praises. Everybody say praises. God inhabits the praises of his people. Now, is everybody his domain? Yes, they are. But where can you find them? Where? In the praise. Where can you find God? In the praise. Some good people, great churches. I'm not here to knock any church. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm trying to prove today. What I'm telling you is that this God can be found in the praise. He says, I inhabit. Matter of fact, as you study the scripture out, it means that with our praise that we actually build him a throne. So the bigger the praise, the bigger the throne. I don't know about you, but man, I want that to be the center of everything we do. And people walk in and say, that was God. God was in that house. God was in that worship. God was in that praise. God was in that message. God's spirit was just pouring out of that, man. God was there. And it happened through praise. As our magicians come today, scripture is very clear. It says we don't forsake coming together. Encourage. Why is that important? Because you need to be in the house of praise. You need to be here. If you're not on vacation, if you're not working, if you're not sick, you need to be here. Why? Because you need to be in the praise. You add to the praise. And you receive from the praise. It's important. Stay connected. Stay and say, I'm going to be in the house of praise. I'm going to let my praise ring. In my heart, I'm going to let it ring. I'm going to build God the throne. I believe a new sound is coming. A sound to be carried out throughout the 4-state area. That God's going to allow a sound to come out of this house of worship. This house of praise. God's allowing a sound to come out. And you got to know why it's important, because with the praise, God is showing up. And where God's presence is at, people change. People's lives people's destinies are changed forever. How many today said, Pastor, I want my life, I want my church, I want my life to be a sanctuary where God abides. Not just dominion, not just in control, but I want His Spirit to abide. Then change your sanctuary. Make your car a house of praise. Make your home a house of praise. Make your marriage a house of praise. Make your workplace a house of praise. Make your mind, your heart, your spirit a house of praise, because where the praise is the presence of the Lord. Today, if you're ready, I want to invite you to stand on your feet. You say, Pastor, I'm ready for God just to elevate my praise to a different level. I want you to join me right here. I'm ready for God to do something fresh and new in my sound, in my praise. I want you to join me around the front right here as we close out with this song. It simply says, God, unto you who sits on the throne. Why is he still on the throne? Because we built the throne for him with our praise. We're building him a throne of praise this morning. So as you press in this morning, press in around the front, make room for those coming in the back, guys. We're going to sing this song that simply says, to him who sits on the throne. I want you to make it personal. Say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready to press into you, God. I want to go to a new level. I don't want to stay the same, but I want a new sound. I want a fresh sound. I want an anointed sound. I want a life-changing sound. I want a sound of the redeemed. I want a sound of healing. I want a sound of restoration to flow out of my mouth, out of my heart today. Let's make it personal as we sing.
Him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. To him who sits on the throne,
blessing and glory and honor and power, all blessing and glory and honor and power. All blessing and glory and honor and power forever.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Can you lift your hands to the Lord? I want to pray for you today. Father, right now, God, I thank you, Lord, that you're allowing a new sound to raise up in Destiny Church. God, we're not a perfect church, but God, we want to be a church where the perfect presence of the Holy Spirit is here. And God, I pray right now that God, you allow passion, fresh passion, God, to serve you, Lord, to sing to you, to let a praise come out of this house. It's a holy roar that God, it would go all the way from downtown, Lord, throughout the 4-state area, that God, people would know the sound of God is coming out of this house. It's a sound of worship, a sound of praise, a sound of healing, a sound of freedom, a sound that's coming out of this place. God is rocking and making a change, is making a difference. The love of God is flowing out of this place. And God, where your presence can be felt, changing people's lives, elevating them to a different level, changing us, God. Thank you now, God. Thank you now for a new sound. Say, God, I want a new sound. Come on, say, God, I want a new sound. I want a fresh sound. Help us to position ourselves, God, as new wineskins to receive of you. One more time, raise your hands. Say, God, right now, Father, I pray. Right now, God, fresh anointing, God. Fresh anointing, God, in our life. Come on, fresh power, fresh sound, Father. New level, God. Hallelujah.
Be your blessing and glory and honor and power forever. Be your blessing and glory and honor and power forever. Be your blessing and glory and honor and power. All blessing and glory and honor and power. All blessing and glory and honor and power forever.
God, praise this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, give him a shout of praise this morning. Hallelujah, Lord. Make that your prayer this week. God, help me to change my sound. Remember, where praise is, The presence of God is there. Fill your place with praise. Fill your life with praise. And see if God doesn't show up in a new, fresh way in your life this week. God bless you. Remember GAP tonight. If you're in that age group, we'll see you. God bless you. Have a great day.